Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Friday, August 14th. I'm Mark Ellison. This briefing is AI created and independently fact-checked against authoritative reporting available as of early Friday morning. In Wisconsin, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has emerged from the Democratic primary for governor with a narrow upset over State Representative Francesca Hong. The result matters well beyond one state race. Wisconsin is a closely watched battleground, and the primary tested competing Democratic arguments about electability, ideology, and turnout. Crowley's win was especially striking because pre-election polling had shown Hong with a substantial advantage. Final returns reported by Axios put Crowley ahead by less than a point, roughly 39.8% to 39.3%. He now moves toward a general election contest against Republican Representative Tom Tiffany. The immediate lesson is a familiar but important one. Polls are snapshots, not outcomes. The broader question is whether a center-left local executive can build a coalition broad enough to win statewide in November. Wisconsin voters will answer that over the next several months. The race also highlights why the label of a candidate's ideological lane can be less predictive than the mechanics of a statewide contest. Turnout varies by region, early voting can change who is represented in the final tally, and a candidate with local government experience can make a different case from a legislator. Those factors will be tested again when Crowley turns from winning a primary plurality to assembling a November majority. At the White House, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt is expected to leave at the end of this month. The Associated Press reported the planned departure in its rolling coverage of the administration. No successor had been announced in the material available early Friday. The press secretary is both an operational position and a public-facing one. The job coordinates the administration's daily message, handles questions from reporters, and becomes particularly visible during military, economic, and legal developments. Leavitt's departure will therefore create a high-profile opening as the administration manages a demanding late-summer agenda. That transition is consequential because reporters use the briefing room to press officials for specifics, while the administration relies on the office to explain policy decisions quickly and consistently. A replacement will inherit not only regular briefings, but the task of communicating across several fast-moving stories at once. Separately, two media organizations have filed a federal lawsuit challenging an arrangement under which Wall Street firms can pay for early access to some of President Trump's posts on Truth Social. The suit argues that the arrangement violates constitutional limits because policy-related information could reach paying market participants before the public. According to the AP report, the service can cost firms as much as $100,000 a month. Truth Social has called the lawsuit an effort by left-wing activists to silence the president. The case is at an early stage and the allegations have not been decided by a court. Its significance is straightforward. Markets can move on presidential statements about tariffs, companies, regulation, or foreign policy. The lawsuit puts a legal question around whether privileged access to that information can be sold, and whether a president's public communications can be treated as a commercial product in that way. Early market access is valuable precisely because traders try to act before information is fully reflected in prices. The suit does not establish that anyone traded improperly. It challenges the structure of the paid access itself. The eventual legal rulings could clarify how the Constitution applies when official speech is distributed through a private platform. In Washington, the debate over public safety and federal authority in the District of Columbia remains active. Fox News first emphasized the first-day arrest total from the administration's crime crackdown, while other coverage has focused on the limits of federal power and the city's own view that crime had already been declining. Those are not mutually exclusive facts. Law enforcement can make arrests while city officials and civil liberties advocates question the necessity or scope of an intervention. The practical questions are what tactics are being used, how long they will continue, and whether the operation produces a sustained reduction in violent crime without undermining public trust. The administration's push for a strict proof of citizenship voting measure is another issue awaiting Congress. President Trump has urged Senate Majority Leader John Thune to cancel the Senate's August break until the chamber passes the proposal. Republicans do not currently appear to have the votes needed to advance it. Supporters argue that the measure would protect election integrity. Opponents say existing citizenship requirements already apply and warn that new documentation rules could impede eligible voters. For now, the key fact is procedural. The proposal remains stalled, and any change to federal election rules would face a closely divided Senate and likely legal scrutiny. District governance gives the federal government unusual authority compared with its relationship to states, which is why decisions in Washington frequently raise questions about local control. The voting proposal involves a different level of government, but it illustrates the same broader tension. Advocates can agree on the goal of secure elections while disagreeing sharply on the rules, evidence, and administration required to achieve it. In technology, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are again central figures in the competition to build advanced artificial intelligence. Axios reports that SpaceX and Meta have released models whose recent performance and pricing have narrowed the perceived gap with companies such as OpenAI and Anthropic. The important caution is that benchmark rankings are not a complete measure of capability or commercial value. A model can perform well on a test while still facing questions about reliability, safety, cost, data access, and use in real workplaces. But the movement matters because it could make powerful systems more available through large companies with enormous computing budgets and existing consumer platforms. Musk has said SpaceX plans a further Grok release within weeks. Meta's progress also adds pressure on competitors to show that their large capital spending can translate into products people and businesses actually use. This is not merely a contest for prestige. The companies that lead in models, chips, energy supply, and cloud capacity could shape a major share of future economic activity. Behind the headlines, the contest has several layers. Companies are competing to build more capable systems, to make them cheaper to run, and to place them where users already work or communicate. Model releases can change perceptions quickly, but adoption is slower. Businesses still have to decide what tasks to automate, how to protect sensitive information, and how to evaluate results when an AI system makes an error. That investment race is spilling into the physical economy. Bank of America has announced a $250 billion effort aimed at infrastructure investment. Axios says Morgan Stanley has outlined a separate initiative that it says could total $1.5 trillion over a decade. NVIDIA has also described plans to help finance a $500 billion in AI infrastructure with major financial partners. Those are announcements and targets, not money already deployed. Still, they show where large banks and technology companies see demand. Data centers, power generation, transmission, advanced manufacturing, and the equipment that connects them. The opportunity is substantial, but so are the constraints. Projects need permits, land, skilled workers, fuel or electricity, and customers willing to pay for the capacity. The scale of the proposed financing is a reminder that AI is not only software. A functioning system depends on physical facilities and reliable electricity, then on networks and equipment that can move and process data. That makes the investment story relevant to communities far from Silicon Valley, where a data center proposal can bring construction activity and tax questions alongside concerns about water, energy use, and local infrastructure. Overseas, Ukraine remains under severe military pressure. As Russia's invasion enters another summer of large-scale strikes and attritional fighting, Le Monde reports that Kyiv's allies are increasingly concerned not only about the front line but also about hybrid threats in Europe, including alleged Russian-linked activity beyond Ukraine's borders. Ukraine has continued long-range attacks on Russian energy and military-linked targets, while Russia keeps using missiles and drones against Ukrainian cities and infrastructure. Claims from either side in wartime require care and independent verification. The durable facts are that civilians remain at risk, air defense ammunition is a strategic concern, and European governments are weighing how quickly they can provide more support. For American listeners, the stakes include the future of European security, the demand on U.S. and allied weapons stockpiles, and the broader question of whether a prolonged war changes Russia's willingness to pressure NATO members through sabotage, cyber activity, or other means short of direct conflict. The uncertainty is not limited to battlefield maps. Sustaining air defenses requires a continuing supply chain for interceptors, training, maintenance, and intelligence, while civilian resilience depends on repairing power and other essential services after strikes. For European leaders, the question is therefore both immediate and long-term: how to support Ukraine now while preparing for security risks that may extend beyond the war zone. The other major international story is the continuing effort to contain the conflict involving the United States and Iran. Reporting and official statements have pointed to renewed diplomatic contacts, but there is no verified final settlement to announce this morning. Shipping through the Strait of Hormuz remains a central concern because the route is vital to global energy trade. The economic effects are already visible in oil prices, freight costs, and anxiety around fuel supply. Diplomatic progress would matter not only because it could reduce the risk of further military escalation, but because a safer and more predictable passage through the Gulf would ease pressure on households and businesses far from the region. As always with an active conflict, be wary of claims that race ahead of confirmation. The meaningful markers to watch are an announced and verified agreement, a durable reduction in attacks, and a measurable return of commercial shipping, rather than a single optimistic statement from any party. Energy markets react not only to barrels of oil, but to the confidence that shipments can arrive on time and at known cost. That is why reports about diplomacy and maritime security matter so quickly to people outside the region. Even before any supply interruption is confirmed, uncertainty can affect insurance, routing, and the price businesses pay to move goods. Now to the economy and markets. These are final closing figures from Thursday, August 13th, the most recently completed U.S. trading session. They are not futures or intraday values. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 69.72 points, or 0.1%, to close at 53,839.99. The S&P 500 added 50.49 points, or 0.7%, to a record closing high of 7,798.99. The NASDAQ Composite gained 214.54 points, or 0.8%, to 26,803.03. Investors responded to a July producer price report that was still uncomfortably high on a year-over-year basis, but less severe than June's reading and slightly better than economists expected. The Associated Press reported that wholesale prices were 4.7% higher than a year earlier, compared with 5.5% in June. Oil prices also eased during the session, with Brent crude down 2.1% to $87.07 a barrel. That combination gave stocks relief and pulled Treasury yields lower. It does not mean inflation is solved. Higher energy costs tied to the Iran conflict have raised concern about gasoline, transport, and broader price pressure. But the latest consumer and producer readings were enough for investors to reduce their expectation that the Federal Reserve will raise rates at its September meeting. That market expectation is not a Federal Reserve decision. Policymakers will receive more inflation, labor market, spending, and financial condition data before they meet. The practical takeaway is that Wall Street saw a little less immediate inflation risk, while households are still confronting the very real prices of fuel, borrowing, and everyday goods. Record index levels can coexist with unease in the underlying economy. Indexes reflect the share prices of large public companies, while a household's experience depends on pay, rent, debt payments, and prices at the pump or grocery store. That difference helps explain why inflation reports receive so much attention. They influence central bank policy and borrowing costs, but they also describe expenses that arrive directly in family budgets. In sports, the NFL preseason is underway, and the most attention-grabbing Thursday matchup brought Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers together with the Green Bay Packers. It was Rodgers' former team for 18 seasons, and Pittsburgh is beginning a new era under coach Mike McCarthy, who also spent years in Green Bay. Preseason results are not a prediction of the regular season. Starters play limited snaps, coaches test combinations, and roster battles often matter more than the final score. But the setting made the game a useful early look at Pittsburgh's quarterback plan and at how the Packers and Steelers are managing depth before the season begins. The NFL's official schedule listed 6 Thursday preseason games, including Lions-Bengals, Colts-Patriots, Chargers-Texans, Cardinals-Raiders, and Titans-49ers. In August, the most consequential developments are usually availability, health, and which young players force their way into a roster decision. Golf's FedEx Cup playoffs have also opened at the FedEx St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis. The PGA Tour lists a $20 million purse and 750 FedEx Cup points for the event. The field is reduced, and the playoff structure means the players outside the top 50 after this week will not advance to next week's BMW Championship. Scottie Scheffler entered as the FedEx Cup leader. Matt Fitzpatrick and Cameron Young were also near the top of the standings, and reigning FedEx Cup champion Tommy Fleetwood is in the field. The larger story is the pressure of the playoff format. Even elite players can lose their path to the Tour Championship with one poor week. A quick results roundup now. In NFL preseason play, Pittsburgh beat Green Bay 28-9. Cincinnati edged Detroit 16-14. In baseball, Seattle shut out the Yankees 1-0 at Yankee Stadium. The Phillies beat the Twins 7-1 in the Field of Dreams game in Dyersville, Iowa. And from the previous day's notable National League action, Pittsburgh routed Miami 13-1. Finally, in entertainment, Anne Hathaway and Ewan McGregor headlined The End of Oak Street, which opens widely in North American theaters today. Warner Bros. Says the David Robert Mitchell film follows a family after a cosmic event transports its suburban neighborhood to an unknown place. Maisie Stella and Christian Convery also star. The film has attracted attention partly because it is an original large-scale science fiction release rather than an established franchise sequel. It was produced through Bad Robot and Jackson Pictures and is opening in IMAX as well as standard theaters. Reviews are opinions, of course, but the release gives theaters a prominent new option at a point when studios are watching closely for evidence that audiences will still turn out for original ideas. That is the morning briefing. Wisconsin's primary, the future of AI investment, the Iran conflict, Ukraine, inflation, markets, and the opening turns of the sports weekend will all keep moving through the day. If this calm morning summary is useful, follow Artificially Intelligent News and share it with one person who would value it. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening, and take care.